Today's daf is daf Mem Aleph, and we're holding at the Mishnah, three lines down from the top. Zarkin Hilika Mishnah. Now, we just learned in the previous Mishnah that the one who does Chalitza is Asur Min Rabbanan to marry any of her relatives as if she was a wife, right? Now the Mishnah wants to tell us the mode by which these Krovot would have fallen to him for Yibum, that we can now answer her, what would the relationship be? Let's say a guy gives Chalitza to his Yivama, okay? The brother of his brother, who did not do the Chalitza, he went ahead and married her sister. And remember that we said before, the Achot of the Chalitza is only Aser on the one who did the Chalitza. We said that the brothers are mutter to take the Achot of the Chalitza. Okay, so one of the brothers did. Now he goes in and he dies without any children. And now she, who is Achot Chalutzato, falls to the original brother who did Yibum again, that she should be in Mityabemet. In this case, Choletzet v'lo Mityabemet. So in this case, again, that brother, obviously this is the first time this woman has fallen, but that brother again is faced with a Yibum situation, this time of his other brother, his second brother. He can't do the chalitza, the yibum in this case. He can only do chalitza because she, to him, is the achot chalutzata. V'chein, we have a similar case, and we're going to see why we call it a similar case, and we're going to ask. We have a similar case where you have a real marriage, not a yibum, a husband who divorced his wife from Garesha Tishto, where over there, all of the relatives are also midiraisa. Okay, a brother goes ahead and he marries the sister of the woman who was divorced. And now that brother dies. And now she falls, this sister, she falls to the one who gave the divorce. Now over here she's obviously also a mediariser. She's achot grushato, not achot chalutzato. So as opposed to the first case, we would say choletzev lo mityabemet. In this case, a rezuptura completely from chalitza and yibum, because she is an isidiriser. As long as the chalutz is alive, she's an Issa Dirais. In another case, it'd be like this. Let's say you have a Shomeret Yavam where she fell to these brothers, and the brother goes ahead, and one of the brothers goes and he takes her sister while she is now a Shomeret Yavam. And he has not yet married her, just gave her Kiddush, he gave her a ring, he had a Kiddush. And now people say, well, what's going on over here? He's not allowed to marry her. What do we do? So Mishom Reb Yehuda ben Becerra Omru, Omrim lo, we tell the brother who gave the ring and did Kiddushin, okay, don't do anything now. I'm tame. Don't go to the chuppah and don't consummate your marriage. Achi yaseh achicha maaseh. You have to wait until your brother goes ahead and does the Yibum. If he does the Yibum, removes the Isser of the Zika, so then you don't have a problem. You can go ahead and take her. Okay. So once you remove the Zika, it's okay. Cholatz la'achiv. So if the brother removes the Zika through Chalitza, or he does Yibum, in either case, the Chalitza is kaput, it's poka, and therefore this brother can be go ahead and consummate his marriage. Yichdos etishto. Or, suppose the Yivama dies before the other brother had a chance to do Yibum or Chalitza. So then the Zika is canceled in her death. And there too, Yichnas et Ishto, he can now go ahead and consummate his marriage. How about if the Yovam dies? So how about if the Yovam died before he had a chance to do Yibum or Chalitza, and there's no other brother except this guy who had given now a get? Who had given now Kiddushin? What is he going to do now? He is in big trouble. Because now, the only one that the Zika is falling on is him. And he has to do either Chalitza or Yibum. But if he does that, his wife, of course, is a surah to him. The one that he's given this ring to. He's going to have to give her a get. Yotziat ishto beget. He's going to have to give his wife a get, because she becomes now a surah because of Achotz Kukato. And Eshet Achiv, he cannot do Yibum too anymore, because she becomes now Achot Grushato. Since she's Achot Grushato, he should give her now chalitza. Okay, now, even though she was a sura midiraisa, obviously, but in this case, the zika came before the yisrael. So, and therefore, he has to get rid of that zika with chalitza, even though he's also to marry her midiraisa, because of achod grushato. Says the Gemara, what do you mean v'chein? It's the opposite. You said v'chein, and the same thing would be true about a baal who gives a get. It's not the same thing. Where a yavam gives chalitza, the halacha is that you need chalitza shalomit yabemet. Where a baal gives a get, it's a complete p'tur. So what kind of crazy word is that to say v'chein? It's not v'chein at all. Ema, you're right. But it should say, instead of v'chein, it should say but. Aval amigaresh. And indeed, says Rish Lakish, that's the point. Kan, Shana Rabi. It's through this Mishnah that Rabbi has taught us that Achot Gerusha is Midivrei Torah and Achot Chalutza is Midivrei Sofer by creating this contrast. That's what we're referring to yesterday's daf when we quoted Rish Lakish's Pesach. Now it says in the Mishnah, Shumeris Yom Shekideish. So then Rabbi Yudim Besera says that we say, wait. And Omar Shmuel, Halacha Kediva Rabbi Yudah Ben Seira, that the Zika prevents him from taking his wife. Iboilo. In a case where Shomer Yavam was Mekadesh the Achot, Umeita Ishta, the Achot that he took as a wife, she dies, that he'd be Mekadesh. Ma'o B'yivnimto. What would be the Halacha about his right to take the Yavamah? Do we say that since, after all, Misa removes the Isser of Achot Ishto, which is always the case. So therefore, he's now allowed to be Miyamim, because she's no longer an Isser Erva. Or do we say that since Bechaye Ishto, she became Asura for Shah Achas, she remains an equivalent of an Isha Shach Sheyesh Lo Banim forever, and is now Asur. So Rav and Rabbi Chanina Domer Tavayu, Meita Ishto, Mutar v'yevimto. Once you take off the yisra of eshet of achot ishto, there's no problem. He is now allowed to marry the yevamah. V'shmuel v'rabasi damri tavayu meita ishto asur v'yevimto. V'shmuel v'rabasi argue, and they say once she was asura mishum eshetach, she's asur liyayla. Omar Rav. My time at a Rav. Omar Rava, my time at the Rav, why is Rav Matir, this case where his wife died and now his Yevamah becomes Muteret? Because over here, this is a classic case of Yevamah Shutra, because at the time that the brother died, he had not been Mekadosh the sister. So she was Muteret. Then he went ahead and was Mekadosh the sister of an Esra. And as we saw earlier, Rav Shita is that if she's Chazra, now, when his wife dies, and it's Hutra once again, Tachzor Hetera HaRishon, she can go back to being Muteret, as she was always Muteret. And therefore, the only time that we would have a problem was if at the time that she fell, she would have been Asura. But here, she goes back to being Muteret the way that she always was. Masiv Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna now asks Rava, based on the Mishnah. It says Shlosha Achim. You have over here three brothers, out of whom two are married to two sisters. The Achad Mufne, and one of them is not married. So as we saw earlier, if the one who is unmarried now does Maimer to the one who died, who was married to one of the sister, and now the other brother is married to his sister, and the other one who's married, his sister dies, leaving the sister of the one that he just did ma'amar to. Now, he certainly cannot take both of them, because his first wife is the first wife, or the first ma'amar wife, is now achot zekukato, and the other one is basically achot ishto, through ma'amar. Yachar kach meita ishto. Now, after that, the wife of the second brother who died goes ahead and dies now acharav, after her husband died. So that Yevamah, the first Yevamah, Hotah Yevamah, the one that he had given the Mama to, She can only get chalitza now, not yibam, because since now she had become asura because of achotz kukato, so at that point she now is permanently asur. So Rav Nuna asks on Rav, "Vamai?" I understand. According to you, what's the problem? To have a kiyavama shoot, ravenes, ravakas, ravutra, right? That's what that they're already shown. After the time that she fell to Yibam, there was no problem. So, because the other one hadn't fallen yet. So, why can't she, now that the other one died, why can't he go ahead and take the one that he had given the mimer to? Ishtik. Rava was shut up by this, because there certainly doesn't seem to be an answer. Labasa de Nafak, after Rav Amnuna left the room, as usual, we always come up with the answers a little bit too late. Omar, he said, Amai lo amart, like Rabbi Eliezer, that this is going according to Rabbi Eliezer. This is going like Rabbi Eliezer, who argues on this whole idea with the Rabbi. He argues against Rabbonim. Somebody was Megarish's wife, took her back, remember? She died. He dies now without children. So there we have a machlokes where the rabbanit say, well, what's the problem? Right now she's a kukali yibam. She's still married to him. The fact that she was divorced in between doesn't matter. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, since the original nisuin ended in divorce, and at that point was not omedes to fall to him, so during that time she became now a woman who wasn't really yibam. So that even if afterwards he goes ahead and he marries her, he holds, obviously, the kima shamdal of shachas b'isr. Since at one point, which was the period, even if it was just for a minute, that the get had been chal, she at that point became asurah to him. When she became asurah to him olamit. So in the asurah of olamit, if she was one moment asur, she's asur forever. But Rav, what's the problem? Rav obviously was going according to the Rabbanan, who argue on Rabbi Elazar, and according to them, it's no problem. She could certainly go back to Heter HaRishon. Why was it an issue? Then Rava realized, whoa, wait a minute. It wouldn't even have helped me. It's a good thing I didn't say that. Hadar, then he said, wait a second. Omar, he said to himself, Amar the Omar Rabbi Elazar, the only time that Rabbi Elazar said she would be permanently usher was Dafka, Hechad Alokhaz, Yibashas, and Fila. That's a big difference between these two cases. Over here, at the time that she was Nofelet, okay, so Belozer says that if she wasn't right, Bishas and Fila, such as the case of Girishes Ishta, at that point she became Grushat Achiv. So that as soon as he died, she was Grushat Achiv. But the case over here, however, Hechad Alokhaz, Yibashas, and Fila, where at the time that the brother died, she was completely muteris. Afterwards, she becomes a chotz kukato because the other brother dies, leaving the other sister. So, miyomar, where did we see that Rebbe Lozer argues even in that case? Good thing I didn't say it was going like Rebbe Lozer. Wait a minute, said Rebbe Hadar. You know, absolutely. We do indeed know that according to Rebbe Lozer, even in that case, that a yavama falls, but in b'shas lefila, she is ru'u yalo. Then nonetheless, she is always going to be usher because of Atanya. We learned in a brisa, Rabbi Elazar Omer, and Elazar says about a case of a Shomeris Yovan, where his brother had gone ahead now and had given a ring to the sister, to his Makadish, the sister, and he died. So it says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Meita Yivimto Mutar Beishto, that once the Yavama dies, he's now allowed to take his wife, because she's no longer considered to be achotz kukato. But if a meita ishto, it won't help for his wife to die, the one they had given the ring to, because then the yavama, ota yavama choletzev lo mityabemet. Now, even though lechatchila, when she had fallen before he went ahead and had married her sister, so before she had fallen to him, she was muteret. But once he went ahead and was mekadesh the sister, she becomes asura, even now that the other one dies. So you see over here that indeed the Mishnah that talks about the Shlosh Achim could very well be going according to Rabbi Eliezer, who indeed holds that even in a case where she's a Materis B'Shas Nefila, the Isser is permanent. However, according to Chachomim, since at the time of the Nefila she was a Materis, so then over here too she would be Choseret L'Hetera Rishon, and Rav Saver Kedatam without any problem. Ask the Gemara, so does that mean that Lema Shmuel V'Ravasi Da'amik Rabbi Elazar? So are they going like a das yachid, where they say that she, that where his wife dies, she remains asur, the yavama remains asura to him? Well, why would that be? I mean, the only way it works out is if it's going like Rabbi Elazar. I said, we're not true. Filotemik Rabbanan, it could be that in this case, the Rabbanan would also agree that if his wife dies, he remains also. Why? Because I can hook a mythic Rabbanan later, Rabbi Elazar, Elamishum, the Minifila, the Elech, Lemitzeralayim. Where were the Rabbanan arguing on Rabbi Elazar? In a case where the gerushin of his wife, and then he goes ahead and he remarries his wife, and then he dies 10 years later, that's because the time that she falls to him from Yibum, which is 10 years later, there never was any Isra on her. So, according to them, the only thing that is Makpil is Misa, if you recall. And therefore, even if she had been Asura before, I mean, every Yivam is Asura before Misa. So therefore, according to them, there's no problem. Avalhacha, in this case, we have a Shomeres Yavam, where he's Makadish Achotah, where over there, at the time, subsequent to the Nefila, she became Asura, which never happened over here. So over here, subsequent to the Heter, where she falls, she eats her, she becomes Asura. Once he went ahead and engaged, it was Makadish the Achot, perhaps, and they would claim, of course, that's the way it is, and perhaps a few Rabbonim on there, that she can never go back to Terah Rishon, because once the state of Heter Zika was interrupted, she becomes now the equivalent of his brother's wife, Shelo b'maka mitzvah, because there wasn't a chiv at that point, and there's no way to undo that. Zakrei l'kamishnah, Hayevama, Hayevama, who falls, her husband dies, lo tachalot, lo titiabeim, ad sheyesh la shlosha chodashim. As we saw earlier, she has to wait 3 months from the time that her husband dies. And only then, when we see that she's not showing pregnancy, would we go ahead and allow her to get the Yibum, or the Chalitza, it's about the Chalitza, as we spoke about earlier. V'chein kol sha'ar hanashim. The truth is that any woman who either became divorced or who became widowed, lo yitarsu v'lo yinasu ad she'alem shlosha chodashim. They cannot even accept kiddushin, and certainly should not consummate a marriage until they have 3 months from the time of their husband's death. Because that way, it will be clear whether the child is from the first one or from the second one, because even if he's born 7 months later, it doesn't prove he's not from the second one. There are, after all, he could have been a Ben Shiva. And therefore, we need to know what's what. This is for purposes of Yichud, and Yichud's inheritance, and so on, in terms of all of the incestuous relationships. We got to know who's who. Now, this is true. Whether Echad Bitulot, whether these girls, now that are falling after a divorce or after a death, are falling, never having slept with a man, and they're now virgins, because after all, they only had Kiddushin, never consummated the marriage, V'Echad Bi'ulot, it doesn't matter, even if they got married, Echad Grushot, Echad Almanot, Echad Nesuot, Echad Arusot, doesn't matter whether this was through an act of gerushin, you could say that they had been split basically before, whether it was a sudden death, whether they were had been married bechuppah, or just married bekiddushin. In all cases, there is the same waiting period of 3 months. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, hanisuot, those who are already married and not under the chuppah, where there's a good grounds to think that they may be pregnant, indeed it is prohibited, and they have to wait the 3 months. And before they can now sleep with their new husband, but there's no problem for them to accept kiddushin from the new husband, same yitar, so they can go ahead and get an erisin immediately. We don't aser accepting the kiddushin because maybe you'll do nisuin. And those who are newly widowed from erisin and who never had consummated their marriage, we don't have to worry that they're pregnant, they could even get married immediately and indeed go to the chuppah. The only time that we wouldn't say this is chutz mina arusot shebiyuda. Erisin in Yehuda, because of the fact that the chassan and the kala would spend time together before going to the chuppah alone, and they wanted bedafka, the chassan and the kala, to really get to know each other, and that they shouldn't all of a sudden meet for the first time, basically, in their marital bed, So they used to want them to get to know each other. And, of course, in getting to know each other, you can oftentimes get to really know each other, in which case you may be pregnant. And therefore, there we have to be choshish that she might be pregnant, but other than places that have that minhag, we don't have to worry. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol anashim yitarsu, all women who were already nisuot, they can go ahead and get erusin after the death of their husband. And those who are only arusot, indeed, can go and actually get married, as Rabbi Yehuda said. But chutz min ha'almana, not in a case where they were an almana from nisuin, where over there we say that they can't even accept kedushin for 30 days for another reason, and that's mnei ha'ivul. That's because they are chayiv and avelut for their husbands. And indeed, it's not that, this is an issue that really has that much to do with what we were talking about. He's just saying that in practical terms, avelut prohibits them from getting married. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that the only simcha is in the actual marriage, not in the acceptance of a kedushin. And therefore, it's not a violation of avelut to make sure that you've closed the relationship with somebody, and that when the avelut is over, you'll be able to get married. Says the Gemara, getting back to the beginning. Bishleima, it says in the beginning of the Mishnah, lo titiabeim, she shouldn't get yibum within 3 months. And that's understandable. Maybe she's pregnant for sure. And Shema yeah, Vlad ben Kayoma. Maybe the child will be a ben Kayoma, and then she's going to be over in a Diraisa, Kapakabir Sershus Ach. Obviously, that's a Diraisa. But lo tachlots, what does it hurt to do chalitza? Am I? What's the problem with the chalitza? So even if it turns out that she's muberet and didn't need chalitza, let her do chalitza, and then if she's pregnant, fine. If she's not pregnant, so then it was a good chalitza, right? Lema, shall we say that it's clear from here that since he can't do chalitza before, it's because, in fact, chalitza doesn't work before, and during pregnancy, chalitza is not really a chalitza, because if she's mu'uberet, and even though she ends up not having a ben kayoma, that chalitza is not going to help her, and therefore maybe she'll rely on it, so maybe we asked it, because we don't want her to rely on a chalitza which will be invalid. But if that's the case, David Yufta, Rabbi Yochanan. This now will destroy Rabbi Yochanan's position, who holds in the earlier machlokas, with Rish Lakish, that chalitzat mu'uberet, Shma chalitza, that it is possible to do a kosher chalitza to a mu'uberet. Says the Gemara, I understand. We've already basically asked this question. We already showed that Rabbi Yochanan from a different place was wrong. And why do we have to ask from here once again? Because even if you find a teretz to that kasha, maybe you've got another clear indication from this Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan is wrong. Says the Gemara, no, not necessary. From this Mishnah, is no problem. Because our kind of time, why is it that we don't allow you to do chalitza now? Because you could say, listen, I have an opportunity to get chalitza. Who knows, maybe the guy will disappear. Let me do it while I can. If it turns out that I'm pregnant and I have a vlad shekayoma, what's the problem? The problem is this, says Rabbi Yochanan, because Shema yeh vlad ben kayoma, okay? If the vlad is a ben kayoma, then it means that she never really required chalitza, and that chalitza was just a joke. So v'nim tzitatamet tzricha karos. So then if that's the case, you're going to have to go out, take out ads to let everybody know that she's muteris l'kahuna. And the karos would be l'kahuna, so that would enable her to get married, otherwise people will think that l'maisa it's muteris. So asks the Gemara, so what's wrong with that? So v'nim tzricha. Let her need to take out ads. What's the problem? I mean, everybody's got to make a living, you know. Dilma Ika, now there may be somebody, as we saw earlier, the Avi B'Chalitza, witnessed the Chalitza, knows that she was a Chalutza, and then doesn't read the papers. V'lo Avi B'Achroza, he won't be there at the time to make the announcement. Umifsalu Aminakuna, at that point she becomes, he thinks she's Pasu Aminakuna. And therefore, we need to make sure that she shouldn't do Chalitza at all. Or, as the Rashba understands the sugya, the issue over here is that somebody may see that she does get married to a kohen, and will make the mistake of thinking that a chalutza is muteret to the kuna. Therefore, it's best not to do the chalutza. Okay, Tenach, this is all very nice for an almona who would be otherwise muteret for a kohen, because only a kohen gadol can't marry a kohen. But how about the case of the Grusha, where she was already divorced, then she goes to marry to somebody else, and he dies now. And now she is going to require chalitza or yibum, so she's anyway asura to a kohen, even without chalitza. But what's the problem for her to go in and get chalitza? It's not going to change her status vis-a-vis the kohuna. And it says, the Gemara, mishum demafsid on mizonot, by giving her chalitza, he now makes it impossible for her to get the mizonot that are coming to her, which is the support that is coming to her from her husband's home for the 3 months before which she's not allowed to get married again. Whereas if you go ahead and you do chalitza, she is going to lose that support. So it's not that the chalitza is, but just the Mishnah is saying it would be pretty stupid, it's not telling it's us, it's saying it would be pretty stupid for her to go ahead and get chalitza now, because chalitza basically terminates the relationship, whereas like this, she has a legal right to support from the estate of her deceased husband until it's time for her to act on the yibum or chalitza. So if she acts early, she's going to lose all that support. And, you know, we try to be practical about these things. Tenach nesu'a, well, that's very nice. If she died, if she came to the situation of being a shomeres yavam from a position of a full marriage to the deceased brother. But how about if she's only an arusa? An arusa anyway doesn't get support from her husband, and now she was divorced. So over there, ma'ikel amim, what are you going to say about that case? Why don't we say that she should go ahead, and in that case, she should get the chalitza right away, because it doesn't change anything in terms of her support, and it doesn't change anything in terms of her heter to the kohen. Ella, therefore, we're changing our mind. Okay, the real reason that she should not get chalitza is Bishum de Rabbi Yossi. Tanya ma'aseh ba'adam echachu ba'lefnei Rabbi Yossi. The guy comes to Rabbi Yossi, and he says, Ma'alach lotz b'toch shulsha. Is it mutter for him to do chalitza to his yavama within 3 months of the death of her husband? Well, Ma'alos, Rabbi Yossi said to him, Lo tachlotz. No. So the guy asks Rabbi Yossi, V'tachlotz, ma'abekach. Well, what could I possibly be doing wrong by doing chalitza? Kara alav amikraze. So he goes ahead and he reads to him, he says, this is what the Torah is referring to. It says in the Torah in Parshas Yibumim Lo Yachpots, continues the passage Lo Yachpots Yishna Kachat Yivim To, as we saw many times, that there has to be an option of Yibum in order to do Chalitza. So then she should go ahead Im Lo Yachpots V'Chotzanalo Ha Im Chafetz. If, however, he would have wanted to be Miyabim, Yabemi would be able to. And therefore, as we've seen again many times, since over here he cannot do the yibum because of the requirement, therefore there's nothing to do but to wait out the chalitza as well. Masiv Rav Chinuna. So Rav Chinuna asks from a b'raisa, "Asveikot chotzov elamityamot." Okay. Well, we've seen many times the general rule is we've got a position of a suffix, so you do chalitza without yibum. Now, when you say asvekot, what does that include? My svekot. Ilema doesn't mean that we don't even know if she was married. So it's a suffix kedushin to the brother who died. And because of that suffix kedushin, to be mater her. You know, the cases we had before, suffix korovlo, like we had before. So in order to be mater, we go in it and we do the chalitza, is what it's saying. What would be wrong with doing yibum? It's b'manashach. Ma'amai lo mityabmot, tityabim v'en b'kachlum. You can't possibly be doing anything wrong If she wasn't ever Mekudeshes, so for sure she's allowed to marry the brother because she's not related to him. If she was Mekudeshes, so then he's Chayev and Yibam. So what possible problem could there be? Elolav, Safek, when it says the Safek over here is talking about a case. Shekidesh achat mishtei achayot veino yodea izomiyem kidesh. What we said earlier, the case that we had, somebody went ahead and was Mekadesh two sisters. He doesn't know which one he was Mekadesh. So therefore, he's always going to be us from both of them because the one that he's taking may be Achot Yevimto. Okay, so there it says, V'gotanu shecholetzes. So you see that even though there's no way for her to be Eilu L'Yibam, she's still Eilu L'Chalitz. It's impossible for him to ever marry this woman, for ever to be Me'abim the woman, because he doesn't know whether she's the sister of the woman that he married. So what's the comparison? Also, in the case of the two sisters, where we say you can only do chalitz and not yim, that's because, theoretically, I mean, if you have only Eliyo, let's say Eliyo and Avi would come to Yomar, and he tells us, Doha Kidesh, this is the woman, he says that he was Mekadesh, okay? So then, she's obviously about chalitz aviyibum. If this is the one that the brother is Mekadesh, then there's no problem. So then he'd be able to do chalitza and yibum now, and therefore he can do chalitza now. All he's doing is missing a phone call to Eliyo and Avi. Because if that's the case, I mean, it's not that it's just a chisaron idea. Whereas Hacha over here waiting 3 months. Yes. Even if you have Eliyo, what's going to happen? Yeah, Eliyo is going to come and he's going to say, this woman's not pregnant. Okay? Lo yabra. Mimashkech be. Are we going to listen to him? The Abminan law. Well, we're going to change now. And our minds are where he will be Me'abin. The din of Ahamtanav Shosha Chodashim is even where we know that the woman isn't pregnant. Because we've already seen the case by a Ketana, who is not able to get pregnant. Lav Bati Yiburehu. And nonetheless, if you look at Ahamtanav Shosha Chodashim, the Rabbanan still made a Gezerah, that just like any other woman, she has to wait 3 months. And that means that it's not going to help. So over here, you could say, okay, if that's the case, there's a gzeirah that she's ain't Eilu L'Yibam. If she's ain't Eilu L'Yibam, she's ain't Eilu L'Chalitza. But the other case with the sisters, it's not that she's ain't Eilu L'Yibam. It's that we don't have enough information to get her to be Eilu L'Yibam. Now, once we brought up this question on the Mizonot, and we said that that is an important factor in determining whether she should get her chalitza now, the Gemara now wants to discuss this issue at greater length, and it starts with a bright. Tana Rabbanan. Yevama, the din of a yevam is that shlosha chodeshim rishonim is on it mishel ba'al. The first 3 months after husband dies, where anyway she cannot go ahead and get chalitza yevam, so then she is fed from the resources of the estate. And there's nothing else that she can do. And the only reason, because there's no option for her. And therefore, in the ketuva, we have a clause that says that at tehe yatva bebeiti umitzanei minechasei kol yemei megar manutayich. As long as you are a widow, you will be able to live off of my estate. So, fine. That's clear. However, now after that, mikan ve'elach after 3 months, she does not continue as a normal almana would to get mizonot from the estate. And lo mishal yavam, until the yavam takes her, she is also not zocha to food from the yavam. So if she would go ahead now, and she would go to court, see, normally a yavama can say, gentlemen, I'm not getting married to anyone else. I respect my husband too much to slap his memory in the face. Okay, what are we going to do? So that means essentially, I mean, if she's saying she's not getting married because of her great, dear husband, her late husband, we can't go ahead and force her to get married and say, well, your late, dear husband doesn't want to support you any longer from the grave, so she can remain unmarried. But in this case, a Yavana, if she's not getting married, it's because, I mean, she's supposed to, right? So the only reason over here that she doesn't get married is because she doesn't want to do the chalitza, doesn't want to do the yibum. So for the 3 months we're over there, indeed she can't, then that's fine. Then she gets her. But afterwards, after the 3 months, she doesn't do the yibum, she doesn't get anything. Now, if she goes ahead and she sues the guy in court, and she says, what's going on? It's not even my fault, it's his fault. And then this guy goes, v'amad bedin, and he goes to court, and they say, okay, guy, you're either going to be miyabim or you're going to be chavetzer. Uvarach, and he goes ahead, and he runs away, nizonet mishal yavam. There we have a halacha, which is based, essentially, on a din of knas. So it's now, she's nizonet from him. That's Rashi's approach, that it's a stamak knas. The Ramban explains that the inyan over here is that once the bezdin was b'chai of him to go and do yibum, so now it's the equivalent, it's not a special knas, it's the equivalent of a case of a woman who had accepted kedushin from someone, and the din is that she's supposed to get married b'toch 12 months, and he didn't marry her. So over there the din is that indeed he has to support her. So this is the case according to actually many of the Rishonim. The Rashba holds this, the Ravid holds this. Not. Tosis over here says that even if he ran away because of the tax authorities, it had nothing to do with the Chalitza, the Yibum, it wouldn't be a Knas. It's just the halacha is that he still has to support her. But others learn that it's talking about that he had already agreed that he's going to do Yibum. If it had been agreed that he's going to do Chalitz and then he had to run away, so then in Ochinami, we don't say that she's Nizonas Mishelo, because she's certainly not in a state of being the equivalent of a woman that was married and is waiting for her husband to consummate the marriage. Okay, so we have a number of different approaches on this issue, about the details of this issue. But in any event, Naflifnei Yavam Katan, what happens if she falls to a Yavam who is too young to do the Yibam? So, L'chora, the 3 months, okay, 3 months for sure. But the point is this, Miyavam Leslie, right? She certainly can't get Mizonas from a Yavam because he can't be Miyavim and he's a Katan. So it's not his fault, and therefore why should we be Kones him? And therefore we can't call him to din and say either do Chalitza or Yibam, and therefore there's no basis for being Mechayavim. The question is, during this period, does she continue to get support from the Baal? Pligibo Ravacha Ravina Chadomar Itla. Woman Yomer says, well, of course she continues to get, because the only reason that she's stuck here to this Yavam Katan and she can't go and get married like anybody else is because of the fact that that she's doing this for her husband, right? So it's because of him that she's stuck, and therefore the estate should continue to support her. V'chadamar Lesla, the other one says, no, she does not have support from the Baal, because this is a sign that, look, Min HaShemayim, they put her into a tough position, as the Gemara is going to say later, and, you know, he's not responsible for her bad luck. And actually the halacha is that she does not get support because we assume Mishamaya Kenasuha. This is basically a very, very bad luck that comes from fate. And when Hashemayim, she was put into this terrible position to fall in front of a Yavam Katan who can't do the Yibam. So she has the bad luck of needing to sit around and wait, but this is not attributed to the husband's bad luck. What about if they do chalitza, one of the brothers, betoch shlosha, okay? So one of the brothers goes ahead and does chalitza within 3 months. She still needs to wait. She needs to wait 3 months to see if she is pregnant. But suppose they give her chalitza la'achar shlosha. So after 3 months they give her chalitza, then they need to chalam tin shlosha chodeshim. She certainly doesn't need to wait 3 months from the chalitza. She can go right now and get straight out and marry. Havi, so this teaches you that the shlosha chodeshim she'amru, the only point of waiting 3 months, is dependent on her original husband, and it's measured misha'at mitat ha'bal, v'lo misha'at chalitza tayavam. The 3 months that we're talking about follow not the time of the chalitza, they follow 3 months from the death. It says the Gemara, why is chalitza any different than the get, where we have a machlokas, Rav Shmuel, that Rav says that she needs to wait 3 months from the time, Misha'at Nitina, from the time that the get is given, even though after he already wrote the get, in order for that get to remain okay, he's not going to sleep with her, and therefore it should have began the period from the time that he wrote the get. And Shmuel says, indeed, that's when we count it, Misha'at Ketiva. So according to Rav, if it's Dafka Misha'at Nitina, so then, if that's the case, we should say the same thing, even though he wasn't miyachid with her from the time of the ketivat haget, because then it would be possible, because it's a get yashan. And if that's the case, then over here also, it should be measured from the time of the chalitza, and not, according to Rav, not from the time of the death of the husband, just like over here it's measured from the time of the netina. Omar Rava, the reason that they didn't asser her, in this case, to get married right away, is because of Kavuchomer, says Rava, because it's ridiculous. It's a Kavuchomer. You learn it from the Yibum itself. If in the case of a Yibum, where she was an Isra Shesach, was an Isra Koras, and now Hitarta, you now matter her to go ahead, right, to get married to the Yovan, okay? I mean, by definition. 3 months after the death of the husband. I mean, she obviously can't wait 3 months after the Yibum to get Yibum. So there you're going to have to measure it 3 months from the death of the husband. So then you're going to say, but Chalitza, which is an Isser Lav, so then, nope, now she's got to wait 3 months for the Chalitza. People think you're out of your mind. So no, Koshkin, obviously that you need to be Mater after 3 months from the death of her husband. We can't make a din that looks like an absolute absurdity. That's called a Chuk of a Tlilah.